Church. It's good to be here this morning. I hope you feel the same. And I know we've got, we're that time of year where many are traveling for many different reasons. And so just continue to pray that they'll be brought back safely with us at the next appointed time. We're doing a series here for the month of June if you remember a few weeks ago when Jim Book was with us, he made mention of a series they were doing down in Kissimmee over the month of June, and you'll see why for the apparent reason, but humbling ourselves. And so I usually don't give you homework, but I would like for you to. So we do have that prayer page on the website that is drastically underused. And I'd just like for you to go on there this week and share with us a concern or something that we need, that you need personally in your life for us to pray for. You know, and let that be known. That's the first thing we're looking at today in our series, is that it starts with us. It starts with the individual. And if you've got it all figured out and you've got nothing that needs to be prayed for, please come up and preach this sermon this morning, right? If not, then please go on there. Share something that is a concern to you personally. It may be a personal thing. It may be praying for family members, but we'll get out into a broader scope as the month goes on. But as this series is entitled, and this specific lesson for this day is humble yourself before God. We always expect for change to take place with the other guy, but it's this Peter here is sharing that when we're going to look is humble yourself. Let's take a look inward here today. 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 6 and 7 says, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." And the more as George went with that class today, just it really is going to hinge well, I think, with our sermon, at least points of our sermon, and sharing those things. And, you know, for us to struggle less with some of those things of being overwhelmed does mean, you know, and by no means is this everything that needs to happen, but humbling ourselves in the sight of God is where it starts. So this current month we are in is dedicated as a month of pride in our nation and around the world. There will be those that in their ignorance will raise their banners and raise their flags to their own destruction and abomination. I pray that the church will not participate, accommodate, or facilitate in this time of base ignorance. However, take this time to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God that will judge us all. Pray for those standing against the word of our Lord. Pray for the illumination to the eyes that only seek darkness. Pray for strength to repent and refresh our hearts to the Savior that died for us all, but will only draw near to the humble. Submit our souls, humble our hearts, and bend our knees as a people that honors our God by praising his judgments and glorifying his name. To God through Jesus Christ be the heart of our worship and lifestyle that we engage in upliftment of our King. It wasn't necessarily a prayer, but as I wrote that, I felt like that would be a good prayer to start this series off with. And so, as we looked at our 1 Peter chapter 5, you got to understand the situation. We'll reference this a little bit later. But so these people are being persecuted from all different directions. Peter's writing to the church. He's praying for them. He's praying for their willingness to stand strong in a persecuted nation when everything and everyone around them seems to be going in the wrong direction. Peter says, stand firm. He's saying that we may have to be different. Peter says that we are a peculiar people, that we are a chosen generation, that we are a royal priesthood. And he tells us that as an encouragement. And so we look here this morning. The first thing in our text says to humble ourselves. So what is it to humble oneself? What is it to humble one's self? Be willing to take a low place, that is, a place such as becomes you. Do not advance yourselves to what does not belong to you, and do not reveal pride and haughtiness in your manner. Do not exalt yourselves above others. This is what it is to humble ourselves. Scripturally, Proverbs 15:33 says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility." Humility is not a characteristic that is overridingly taught or even given as subject in our nation today. And we need to understand that Christ set forth that ultimate lifestyle of humility. And when we talk about, we say, well, I've been humiliated. Yeah, those words are similar but different. But the thing is, if it comes to you being humiliated for the cause of Christ, should we still not do it? And so when we talk about humility or being humble, as we said, in many facets, it's almost a foreign subject to us because we are taught that we are to be number one, to look out for number one, that we are to, you know, try to accomplish everything, that we are the best. But there's nothing wrong with striving for those things, but remember who gives us that grace and that power to do that. Comes through Jesus Christ. And this is where it says, in order to be weak, when the scripture talks about being weak, when Paul is referenced in George's class today, when he says that I am weak, what he's really saying is there that he becomes meek, that he becomes with humility or humble constraint, that he's able to focus on the things that need to be focused on and put as number one and let the other things just slide off. And so when even we were told that Christ is made strong in our weakness, that's when we decide to humiliate in humility with humbleness, approach life, it will change the way the Lord works through us, because the Lord resists the proud. We'll look at that. There's going to be many passages that I'll probably quote a little bit of each week, but gives grace to the humble. And who here needs more grace? Yeah, everybody raise your hand. I know. You all do. We all do, right? All right. So I just wanted to share a little story. I was always, as I was reading and came across this one. This was one that Booker T. Washington was one of my favorite subjects or gentlemen or characters to study in history when we were younger. And so when I found this little article on him, I wanted to share it. A truly humble man is hard to find, yet God delights to honor such selfless people. Booker T. Washington, the renowned black educator, was an outstanding example of this truth. Shortly after he took over the presidency of Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, he was walking in an exclusive section of town when he was stopped by a wealthy white woman. Not knowing who the famous man was by sight, she asked if he would like to earn a few extra dollars by chopping wood for her. Because he had no pressing business at that moment, Professor Washington smiled, rolled up his sleeves, and proceeded to do the humble chore that she had requested. When he was finished, he carried the logs into her house and stacked them by the fireplace. A little girl in the house then recognized him and later revealed to the elderly lady the identity of that man. The next morning, the embarrassed woman went to see Mr. Washington in his office at the Institute and apologized profusely. "It's perfectly all right, madam," he replied. "Occasionally, I enjoy a little manual labor. Besides, it's always a delight to do something for a friend." She shook his hand warmly and assured him that his meek and gracious attitude had endeared him and his work to her heart. Not long after, she showed her admiration by persuading some of her wealthy acquaintances and friends to join her and donate in the donation of thousands and thousands of dollars to Tuskegee Institute. And just because somebody was willing to humble themselves from an elevated position that they have been given, and rightfully so, but because of his humbleness and is willing to show humility, in essence, ended up being a great benefit for the institute in which he served. Proverbs 18:12 says, Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but humility goes before honor. He humbled himself to do a meaningless task or chore, and it ended up benefiting him greatly. And as we will see, those benefits of humbling ourselves don't always show up on this earth. This is one of those cases where it did. But this is where we need to humble ourselves. And if this side of heaven never received the exaltation that we're going to look at, that's okay. Because doing good is what we should do, is what the Christian is about, as was shared there in our communion meditation. It does say in this passage of Scripture that God will exalt us. But what we need to remember about that is God will exalt us in His time. God will exalt us in His time. In God's own time, not our time, but God's, when He shall see it to be a proper time, he can be assured that this will be done at some time. The Lord will not always leave us in this low and depressed condition. He will take off his heavy hand and raise them up from their state of sadness and suffering. This will be in due time, that is, in the proper time, which ultimately means, and I like this, in the best time. See, we think the best time to receive a gift is when? Right now. Right now. But God knows better. God knows better, and He will give it to us in the best time. As we said, it might be in this present life, but it will definitely be certain in the world to come. There we will be exalted to honors, which will be more than equivalent for all persecution, poverty, and contempt which are suffered in this world. And Peter talks about that. Remember those who suffer as a Christian? He's just saying it should be something that you're looking forward to, more or less, because it's going to happen. You're going to suffer as a Christian. I will say this. We see that the world suffers, Christians suffer, and it seems like those that truly put their faith and trust and their hope in Jesus Christ can handle those endeavors, those struggles, those trials with a far greater respect than those in the world. Because as George made mention this morning in his class, you know, you might find a temporary relief in the bottom of a bottle somewhere. It may come from some pleasure. It may come from some anger. It may come from whatever it may be. But the true happiness, the true praiseworthy lifestyle comes from that which is lived for and in Jesus Christ. There will be exalted, those that will be exalted to honors, which are more than equivalent for all the persecution, poverty, and contempt. We'd said that will suffered in this world. It is the usual way and method which God takes to abase the proud and exalt the humble. For humble souls honor him. And therefore, such as honor him, he then will honor as well. Even in Scripture, and was mentioned Nebuchadnezzar and his statue in our communion meditation, Nebuchadnezzar, ruler of all the known world, was humbled and lived as an animal for, I believe, 7 years. Until he made the confession of who was in control, that who was the real true ruler of the world. He had to debase his proud status, or refuse his proud status. For humble souls honor him, and therefore such as honor him he will honor, and this he does in his own time. In a time that makes most for his glory and their good. Oftentimes he does it in this life, but always does it in that which is to come. This is where the class kind of overlaps with the sermon today. We've got the question, so what is anxiety? What is anxiety? You know that the Greek word for anxiety actually means to draw in different directions. I envision this, and this is when anxiety starts to run rampant in my life, that this is the way I feel like. Rope here, rope here, rope here, rope here. Let's put horses on the end of those ropes and start to pull. That's the way I envision my anxiety is pulling me apart. And that's exactly what the definition is, to draw in different directions. And this then, just in that definition alone, reminds us, how many ways are there to the Father? Just one. One direction. Right, that leads to the Father, Jesus Christ. And when we are being pulled then in all directions, I can honestly say, just in the definition alone, lets us know that it's not God or godly or biblical or spiritual things that are doing that. It may be our emotions. It may be our health. It may be our well-being. It may be mental stress. It may be all of those things that are pulling us in different directions. Those things which cause us to worry or to be anxious, or to have anxious care, we must cast upon God. Cast our cares upon Him. Cast all of our anxieties upon Him, for He will care for you. He will care for you. Many of such cares are concerning and impending or anticipated ill, and the painful uneasiness of mind that comes from dwelling upon them. Again, when we are told in Scriptures, you know, not to let the sun go down on your wrath, or don't in other words, go to sleep angry. So does that say not to be angry? No, actually, we are told in Scripture to be angry and sin not. It's just then, at the end of the day, let that go. As George had shared this morning, let it go. Get over it. Or sometimes what needs to happen. See, we take our burdens and we lay them at the foot of the cross. And then, as we walk away, you know, the best illustration I ever seen was, you know, somebody comes with a backpack and they've got, you know, their lunch on there, and they put all these, I'm not going to worry about any of these things. And then as they get to leave, they're like, yeah, but I might need to eat later. And then they put it back. And we end up picking back up all of those things that we've laid down at the foot of the cross, that we've turned over to Jesus, that we've let go of our stress, our anxiety, our emotional struggles, our mental health. We've turned all those things over to Him. And then I just can't quite leave that. You know, what kind of a person would I be if I didn't have things to worry about? Right? You'd be a little more relieved, right? The Lord wants to help take care of that, and we're gonna look at that. But you know what? And this is where I hadn't really thought about it, and because so many of your minds are so much smarter than mine. But I was so. How does humbleness and our anxiety issues play against each other? How does that happen? And in this study, I realized because with so many of those anxiety, that stress, those emotional things, the mental well-being, is because we think we can handle those on our own. And guess what? We can't. Casting all of our cares and our anxieties upon the Lord. Now, the Lord may have many different ways that He handles that. As we said, that might mean a discussion with somebody or several discussions. It may mean helping to get the chemical side of your body balanced out. It may mean a whole lot of different things that the Lord has allowed for our time to know how to help those things. Now, there's no doubt that sometimes we rush to things that hurt and harm. But there are also many things that the Lord has given us through modern medicine that are there to help us, because the Lord has allowed for them to understand that far better than you or I. We might have some doctors, PhD in the audience here, physical medical doctors, maybe. Yes? No? Probably not. So then you don't know and understand the way a true medical doctor would. We have our ideas and our theories, and of course we all have the internet, right? And we're all, WebMD, and we can all check that out and make it all fit how we want. What I'm saying is, when we're being pulled in different directions, we've got to first get going in the same direction, and that's towards our Lord. Even when the greatest calamity has befallen us, let us say with Job, what did Job say? When bad things happened to him, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away, and don't forget the third part, blessed be the name of the Lord. As we've seen, the recipients of this epistle, and we made mention of this, were already in the midst of tribulation and about to undergo trials and even greater intensity, persecution, actually losing their life for believing in Christ. Now, we haven't got to that point yet in this country. But, you know, if someone's, they called me a Bible thumper the other day. Oh, that's such a persecution. Feel bad for you. Right? The problem may be is, did anybody call you a Bible thumper this past week? Maybe that's the problem. And you'll say, well, no, they didn't. Bing. Maybe they didn't call you that, because maybe you're not thumping on the Bible hard enough. What I mean is spiritually getting into God's Word. These people of Peter's day had stresses and trials going on. If any group of Christians had the right to be anxious, I think they did. So the apostles' exhortation was very timely and needed. But so as we look at our entire text here this morning, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Do you can take a look around the congregation here within these walls, and you'll find people that do care. But I will let you know this. No one in here cares for you like God does. No one in here cares for you like Jesus Christ does. They care for you more than anyone else. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to do what for us? Comfort us. When do you need to be comforted? When everything's going great? When do you need to be comforted? When everything's fantastic? When do you need to be comforted? When things are going bad. When things hurt. When emotions run high. When our mental well-being seems to be teetering back and forth. Rely on the Holy Spirit to help. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." When Jesus was feeling high pressured, do you think he ever had those days? You know, there is one scene, episode, there you go, episode in The Chosen, where Jesus isn't even there until the very end, and all the apostles or the disciples at that time just sitting around talking about, you know, oh, he's taking care of this person, and this person's got that, and this person wants this, and this person wants that, and they're all just waiting, and Jesus comes back at the end of the day and is just whipped. Emotionally, he's exhausted. And he needed rest, and he needed time with his Father. And I venture to say that if we have those same type of days, that we are whipped, that we are stressed, that we are at our wit's end, and it may not even be with our struggles, it may be with helping others with theirs, but we still find time to find that rejuvenation in our Father. This is, it's not the Amplified version, but I found it in the College Press, the green books that many of us have. And it's called an extended text of this same verse that we've looked at. And here's what it says: "You must be humble. Submit and lower yourselves, therefore, under the strong and powerful hand of God, in order that you might be elevated and exalted at the proper time. Throw all your worries and anxious care upon him, because he is concerned about your welfare and cares for you." So I never want to hear that nobody cares, because Jesus does. The rest of us may let you down. I pray that we don't, but we might. Chances are, probably will. But he will never let us down. Hebrews 13. I know this is running ahead of our Sunday night studies, but Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says, "Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you,' so that we confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?'" Now, I made alluded to this earlier, that how those things with humbleness and then the anxiety, how those things, and you notice it's an interesting thought being shared here again, but I think the premise is the same. In Hebrews 13:5, it first of all talks about finances. It talks about, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. What happens when we seek more and more money? We think we need God less and less. The same thing goes when we try to handle our anxiety by ourselves. What we're saying is, I don't need you, Lord. And what that is, so the opposite of humble is pride. The opposite of humble is arrogance, thinking that we can do it ourselves. And I'm here this morning to let you know that if you're talking about salvation, there is no one in here that can do it by yourself. It starts with a belief in God and who He is, belief in Jesus and who He is, the Son of God. It then goes to our necessity of repenting of our sins, humbling ourselves, taking on the direction that leads us to Jesus instead of pushing us away, confessing Christ as our Lord, being immersed into Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and living faithfully for Him. Humble ourselves before the Lord. Philippians tells us that that day is coming where hearts will turn, where knees will bend. It's just, in my mind, so much better. Because it's going to happen. But in my mind, it's so much better if we do it on our own and then use that life as a glory to our Father in heaven. If you're here today and you're outside of Jesus Christ, let today be the day of your salvation. Humble yourselves. Say, you know what? I've been too proud too long. I'm not going to be able to save myself. If the Lord returns today, I'm going to hell. If you're outside of Jesus Christ, humble yourselves. Come to the Redeemer. We live in a town and a place that the Lord wants to change. Oh, Harlan, it's a nice little town. You know what? There's more people in Harlan that are lost than that are saved. We live in a town that influences us, because if we were influencing it, we'd be reversing those numbers. It's just a fact. Well, we live outside in the country and it's a little safer out there. Sin is sin, no matter where you live. Humble yourselves before God Almighty. Cast all your cares upon Him. He will humble us at the appointed time when it honors Him the best. Will you stand with us as they lead us in our song this morning?